Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show.
Vamanos!
Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong!
You all may be taking the week off, this week, but I'm not.
Not too long ago, I was watching one of those Nomad things that Damon Amendola era does, and he was like eating crabs, and I think he was in Miami or something like that. I think he's back in New York, which means he's like in a snowbank right now. I'm just saying. I was all excited about watching Yankees opening day, and the next thing I know, I crack open my Twitter this morning, and there's like 6 feet of snow at Yankee Stadium. And I think DA's in the middle of all of that now. He joins us on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. DA, are you in the snowbank or are you in the subway? Where are you?
Save me, Big Dog. Save me. It was raining and snowy earlier today when I woke up. We had a couple of inches on the ground by the time I got to work. It was a snowstorm. Yankees got snowed out. But now it appears the sun is peeking through. Things are melting, which is good. But we're supposed to get more snow this weekend, so we're all just pulling our hair out over here.
How did the Yankees play tomorrow at 4 o'clock? I mean, Eastern time. I'm trying to figure out, based on the pictures that I saw and that I retweeted, it looked like there was no chance that there would be a baseball game at 4 o'clock tomorrow at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know what they're planning on doing tomorrow because it's supposed to rain, and then I guess maybe it'll be cold enough perhaps to snow, but it might just be rain. But today, now it's kind of cleared up, so it's just freaky weather, and we're all sick of it and tired of it. March was one of the worst months on record for snow. We had 4 different snowstorms. Now it's April. We're still getting snow. I mean, just save us.
Yeah. Well, there's an answer to that, you know, and you do a national show. I'm pretty sure CBS has studios in places other than New York City. I mean, get the hell out of there.
Well, that's what I did with the latest Nomad that you saw. I went down to West Palm Beach for spring training. My buddies from high school and I, now year 3 in a row, we've done a spring training trip to go see a couple of Grapefruit League games and to follow our beloved Mets. So went down last week and got 4 or 5 days down there. Did the show on Friday from West Palm. So I'm starting to smarten up here in my old age, like you suggest.
Do you think the Mets got a chance to be any good? Because we're trying to figure out what the Braves are. They did take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, but that's the Phillies. And the Nats already went and swept the Reds, but that's the Reds. Of course, it takes, to me, I go all the way to Memorial Day. I go 2 full months, 60 games before I make any kind of judgments. But, you know, what do you think the Mets might be here? Because they're kind of the wild card. I don't know if they're second. I don't know if they're last in this NL East.
Well, they're definitely not last because the Marlins have proven that they have no interest in playing. So we definitely won't put them at last. I think they're better than the Phillies top to bottom. Although, you know, the Phillies addition of Jake Arrieta is a good one, a lot of good young talent. I think they're either the second or the third best team of the division. I think if they stay healthy, and that is obviously a huge qualifier because last year they did not, if they stay healthy, they're the second best team of the NL East. And you look no further than the first 2 games where Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom absolutely shut down the Cardinals. If those 2 guys stay healthy, you're getting 60 starts out of your 160 games. And the 2 guys that could finish in the top 5 or 6 in the Cy Young in the National League, that's how good Syndergaard and DeGrom are. Now, that also takes into account that, again, they have to stay healthy. DeGrom did last year, Syndergaard did not. And that Yoenis Cespedes had a good opening series, a couple of home runs. That helps a lot in the middle of that lineup. Last year he was not healthy. But I think that the Mets, if they do avoid injuries, are the second-best team of the division in my mind.
And then what's the story with Matt Harvey? I mean, what's the deal with this guy?
Well, that's the great unknown, and I'm certainly not counting on him to have a consistent season. This is his walk year. He loves New York. He loves New York City. He loves Gotham. He loves celebrity. He loves the nightlife. But unfortunately, that's come back to bite him, and it has forced, I think, a lot of Mets fans and Mets management to question what his desire, what his work ethic, what his commitment is. I think he would love to stay in New York because of the celebrity of it. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm not interested in a guy that's only going to give me, you know, 15 to 16 starts a year of mediocre baseball if he's going to be overpaid to the open market. I think he's the greatest unknown of the National League because when he first came up, he was the Dark Knight for a reason. He was a give-me-the-ball-every-fifth-day type of guy. I want to own the mound. I'm going to own the stadium. I'm going to own the city. And, you know, those are rare commodities in New York where it can be very overwhelming, but he wanted it, and he delivered. But since, man, I just think the nightlife and being out of shape and his health has all caught up to him, and I don't think we'll ever see the thoroughly dominant Matt Harvey ever again.
It'd be interesting to see what they get out of Todd Harvey or Todd Frazier, too, because I am a big Todd Frazier fan. I thought he was great in the locker room. I'd have kept him around. And he has that potential. You know, obviously David Wright's career went sideways with injury, and it's just one of the rotten shames of the last 20 years in baseball. But Todd Frazier, if he can give them anything and give them some pop, he's a great guy to have around a young team. I mean, he could be, and he's just so much fun.
Completely agree. And that's why I think for the Mets, they didn't spend a lot of money in the offseason, which frustrated a lot of Mets fans that looked at the Yankees signing or acquiring Giancarlo Stanton and see the money that the Yankees doled out. And there's always this frustration here in New York that the Mets won't do the same. But I thought that was a very savvy move for all the reasons that you mentioned. Frazier's really good in the locker room, really good in the clubhouse, relatively young team. It's a franchise that you have to kind of sidestep the minds of negativity and tough media here in New York. Frazier has played in New York, played well, gives you a little pop in the middle of the lineup wherever he plays. You know, he's going to be a professional day in, day out. They got him on a very affordable deal, and I'm like you. I think that was a very, very savvy deal by Sandy Alderson in the offseason.
The thing that I was so excited about, the opening days of baseball, and I've enjoyed so much of it that I've seen so far. The thing that's driving me nuts, and I hate to say this because it sounds trivial. A lot of people think it would be trivial. But I don't understand why baseball can't address the Sox situation. I'm watching teams that got players that are three. I saw the Dodger game the other night, and there were three or four different kinds of socks on the same team. Some got Dodgers on them. Some are just blue. Some got blue stripe or white stripes on them. Someone's got L.A. on his side. Why? The same thing with the A's, everybody else. What in what planet does Major League Sport, it's like a Little League game where you bring your own socks. I don't get it, man. Why can't the uniform be uniform?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting point, Doug. I don't know if baseball is purposefully doing this to allow the players to have some type of individuality, which maybe they feel like football has cracked too much down upon, they would be right. The NFL doesn't allow their players to do enough individuality, or maybe they just haven't noticed it. But it's weird because I'm pretty sure that there are team-issued socks that are made by whoever the official outfitter of the socks are in Major League Baseball. So is it not mandated? Are these guys not getting fined? I'm not quite sure about that.
No, my understanding is they get to choose which socks they want to wear, and it's not a team. You know what's going to happen next? We're going to have these teams that have dark colored jerseys. You just pick whatever jersey you want to wear. Just wear whatever jersey. You want to wear the dark jersey, you wear the light jersey, you wear whatever you want to wear. It drives me nuts because it's supposed to be a uniform, and, you know, football does regulate it. You know, they do, you know, say you have to have a certain thing. They got guys on the sideline before the game to tell them what is uniform. It's the same thing with those neoprene things, like what Cespedes wears and some other players. They're all those day glow yellow. I know they make them in orange. Why can't you wear an arm sleeve that isn't the colors of your team?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, Big Dog. I don't know what the rules of engagement are from an official, you know, uniform standpoint for Major League Baseball. But not only the Sox, wouldn't you love to see them tighten up the pants a little bit? I don't need them to go back to 1987, but every time I see guys that are wearing a little tighter of the pants along with the socks, and I'm not saying stirrups or anything, but doesn't it just look cleaner for the guys that are wearing it like that?
Well, I forgot how good they looked in the 80s when they did have stirrups and everybody was like mid-calf with the mid-shin, you know, with the stirrups you had, and the whole team was the same. You know, it was whatever it was, 10 or 12 inches. And that was what the fourth one was with that Dodger thing. One guy had stirrups, one guy had solid blue, one guy had blue with white stripes, and the other guy had Dodgers written on his socks. True story. Four different kinds of socks. You know, all being revealed by the Dodgers neck. It just drove me mad. Damon Amendola with the CBS Sports Radio. Now, in these parts, we're kind of fired up about Wednesday. I mean, I cannot believe how much buzz the Titans are creating for this new uniform reveal. They're having a huge event down on Broadway. They're having Florida Georgia Line, which you probably don't even know, but great, great country band, Florida Georgia Line.
I know my Florida Georgia Line, Big Dog. Thank you Florida, very much.
Free concert with Florida Georgia Line, the uniform reveal. People are trying to take shots at it, and the team is engaging them on social media, sending out things like, yeah, nice try, and stuff like that. I do understand. I've got it on pretty solid, you know, authority here. I do understand they got a Navy helmet. That's what I'm pretty sure they
really
went with it. It's a Navy helmet. I think they went with a Navy helmet, and they've got a big-ass logo. Whatever that logo is, think Tampa Bay Bucks, that style of big logo. And there's some silver involved here. They might have silver breeches with blue tops or something along those lines. It's not dramatic, but it's enough of a deal that they're making a big deal about it. But
well, wait, you know, a second. It's not dramatic. I mean, they have a white helmet. They've had a white helmet for 20 years.
Yeah.
Going back to the Oilers, they've had a white helmet probably for 40 or 50 years. So a Navy helmet is a dramatic change. Is it a Navy helmet with the dagger?
Well, that's the question. Everybody's wondering if it's flaming thumbtack or dagger. The 20th anniversary logo that's on the helmet is a dagger, is just a dagger, and it says 20 on it. And it has a red handle on the dagger. So you got to figure they might have the helmet decal kind of matching the theme of the uniform, you know. But on the other hand, there is a logo. There's a new logo that's in the weight room and on the floor, and it's the flaming thumbtack, but it's with a gray and blue motif as opposed to the white and blue. So there's a lot of talk as to, is the flaming thumbtack the secondary now? Did they get rid of the stripes on the helmet? And you know, so there's a lot in play here. But what I mean by that, it's not goofy, I guess, is what it's not Nike goofy. Most of the people that I'm hearing, most of the rumors we're hearing is that it looks like a football uniform. It's not going to be a clown show. You know what I mean? It's not clockwork orange like that thing that, you know, the Browns or the Bucks are doing.
Thank God, because hopefully they've learned their lesson. You and I have lamented the problems of the Nike uniforms for years now on this show and other places. You know, to me, I think there's one of two ways you go with the Titans uniforms. Either you make it a straight homage to the Oilers, which I would love, because I love the old Oilers uniforms, and you just make it a straight homage, and you do it the same exact color scheme and everything. It's just you change the logo from the oil derrick on the helmet to the dagger, because the dagger is obviously a superior logo to the flaming thumbtack. Or if you're not going to do the homage to the Oilers, then you do what you're describing. You use the dark blue, which is a very cool, or the royal blue, which is a very cool color. Use the silver, which is a very cool complementary color. Again, you have to do the dagger on the helmet. It is a far superior logo to the flaming thumbtack. And then, you know, as you kind of say, you make it look like a real football uniform. It kind of sounds like if it's silver and dark blue, it could be a little New York Giants-esque or something like that, with a little piping of red in there. But it's one or the other, because the way that they're at now, it's kind of like kind of elements of the Oilers, but not enough to make you really remember the Oilers. And it's just not working. There's too many tertiary and secondary uniform combinations, and they need to pick something and stick to it. And I think either go their own way of the Titans, or go straight homage to Oilers?
No, I think they're going to go their own way. Oilers is not something that people in these parts really are fond of. They don't even, like, most people bristle at the fact that, you know, Earl Campbell and George Blanda are in, and their names are on the Ring of Fame at the stadium. It's a Tennessee. It's a stadium. It was built with Tennessee tax money by Tennessee people, and they want, and they're like, you know what? These are the Tennessee Titans. Earl Campbell and George Blanda and Elvin Bethea and those guys, their names should be on the stadium in Houston. That's the city they put. They couldn't find Nashville with an abacus or whatever you find Nashville with a compass. Is what JP could. Not an abacus.
You would admit, Big Dog, that the old Oilers uniforms are classic, and it would be great if
This is where I think they're going to pay the homage. The original Oilers, remember Amy Adams Sistrunk, the daughter of Bud Adams, and still lives in Houston, by the way. The original Oiler uniform, silver breeches, silver helmet, blue jerseys, Columbia blue jerseys.
Right.
And then they went to the blue helmet, and it's the late 60s or early 70s that they go to the white helmet with the Derek on it, you know, with that Derek on it. So I think that the silver breeches may be the one homage to, I'm guessing silver breeches. I think that's your homage to the old Oilers, silver breeches with Titan blue jersey, which would be the dark blue jersey, dark blue helmet. I think it might be something along those lines. And there's going to be some red somewhere. The Nike swoosh is red on the jersey. We know that to be a fact. They wouldn't have just a red swoosh with no other red complementary color in that jersey.
Well, it's about time they did something, because the Titans uniforms have forever been great potential squandered and wasted. You know, it's like
great color scheme.
You know, yeah. It's like Kwame Brown or Jonathan Bender or one of these kids that came out of high school. They said, oh, they got a lot of potential, draft them high, and then they were just, you know, a mess all over the place, because the dagger is so underutilized as a logo. It is so cool. The flaming thumbtack is not. The fact that they can implement a dark blue, a powder blue, a red, a white, there's always been potential there. But they never have squared it away. The Eddie George, Steve McNair jerseys were clearly the best ones, but they haven't ever been, you know, steady on those. So they need to fix it. And I'm happy to hear that if they do go, you know, looking like an actual football jersey, they would have done themselves a great service.
Did you see what happened with the Jags? The Jags April Fool joke that went sideways on them. How funny is that? There are people now. The Jags have to make sure that their new uniform is better than the one they tweeted for April Fool's, and they're going to look like, because everybody's like, "Oh, this is beautiful. This is great." And they're like, "No. Wait, that was an April Fool's joke. It's not really here." And now they got to make sure they can top that.
Yeah, what a mistake that is. If you're going to tweet out as an April Fool's joke, your quote-unquote
ugly
uniforms, make sure they look ridiculous. Make sure they're awful and ugly, and everybody goes, oh, my God, those can't be. Like, it would have been smart for them to tweet out a picture of them on Color Rush.
Yeah, right.
Those things are so gross and so hideous, nobody would ever want them to be full-time. But they tweeted them out, and I said the same thing. I'm like, I don't know, this is a very funny April Fool's joke, because these uniforms are kind of cool, and I hope that they go to these. And now everything's going to be a letdown after it.
Yeah, exactly. David Mendelero, CBS Sports Radio. All right, what do you got going on tonight? You got Philadelphia. Look, Notre Dame wins on Easter. You can't be Notre Dame. I don't care if you're Gino Auriemma or not. You can't be Notre Dame on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. It's not going to happen. I was stunned that Loyola lost on Holy Saturday. Of course, Villanova gets through. Michigan, Villanova's gone, scorched earth with everybody. I've got it a blowout. I think they're going to just work them over tonight. But what do you think? How's this thing going to go tonight?
Well, it's clearly a blowout if Villanova shoots anywhere close to what they did on Saturday. That was just bonkers. That was it was impossible to even fathom. You know, I had Steve Lapis on my show earlier this morning. He's a former Villanova coach. I said, I'm not talking about the tournament or Final Four or anything. I said, have you ever seen a shooting performance like that in college basketball? He says, never. He says, I've coached, I've analyzed, I've watched, I've never seen a shooting performance like that. They were out of their skulls. If it's anything close to that, it is, as you said, a blowout. I have to imagine they can't replicate that. Michigan's a better defensive team than Kansas is. But Villanova's so good, they haven't had a close game of the tournament. So I think Villanova wins. I think Villanova probably wins fairly comfortably. Maybe not a blowout, but could I see it as a, you know, a 76-70 or a 76-68 type win? Yeah, I just don't know if Michigan can keep up offensively unless they play unbelievable defense.
Now, you got a certain group of my listeners. 76-70 means one thing. 76-68 means another. I mean, you just screwed some guys over. I mean, you just straddled that sucker like crazy, man. I mean, I'm going double digits for the sake of my listeners. And by the way, if Villanova wins, I think it goes over. If Michigan can cover even, then I think it's an under. You know, that 145, Michigan gets it into the 60s, then they got a shot. But if this game goes 70s, 80s, even though I know Michigan scored 90-something against Texas A&M, they shot like 74% that night. I don't think they're going to do that. But I think if you like Villanova, you like it going over a lot of points too.
It's hard to see, how Villanova loses this game, not because Michigan's a terrible team, but because Villanova's offense is at a totally different level, because not only do they need – they don't need a great shooting night. They can win without it like they did against Texas A&M. They'll find buckets within the three-point arc if the three's not falling. If it's a close game, they don't seem to get rattled. They don't seem to play out of control or an emotional game. They're very methodical and businesslike, and they just happen to have the best set of shooters in all of the college basketball landscape. They have a coach that's been there before, that's won a title 2 years ago. They've got Jalen Brunson, who's a steady hand at point guard, that also obviously has been there before. There's just no weaknesses on that team. The only thing I can see happens is that Michigan with John Beilein goes crazy defensively, and they just swarm, and they play disciplined defense, and they go, we don't care if we win this basketball game 55-52. And if they slow it down and take the wind out of the sails, and it just so happens that it happens to be a night that Villanova plays terrible, shoots poorly, and it gets into the second half, and they go, oh, my God, we haven't played in a tight game all tournament long. This is weird. Then perhaps it's Michigan pulling the upset. But it's just that Villanova has too many different ways they can beat you.
Yeah. Well, there was the old handicapper, Pete Axthelm, who may have been before your time on NBC back in the day on NBC Sports, and he used to go on. He was the Jimmy DeGreek of NBC Sports pregame show back when Bob Costas was hosting, the pregame show on NBC. And he used to have something called the moto. And he said whenever you had a game that was a moto, you had to go the other way. And it might be like that. The moto stood for master of the obvious. If the game was so obvious that it was one way, that's when it goes the other way. And that's the way sports is. So, it could go that way. Who knows?
That would be the way that it would happen. Look, and I really like John Beilein. I think the way that he has kind of developed his career is so admirable. He goes from Lemoyne, small school in central New York, to Richmond. He builds up to West Virginia. He ends up taking the Michigan job. And there is, all on the way, he's learning from other coaches. He's learning other styles. He's kind of getting it done at so many different stops. And now he's got a team that hasn't lost in a couple of months now. And it's really impressive. And so I never say that Beilein can't do something. I just think at a talent standpoint and from a composure standpoint, it's just so hard to not go Villanova with the level of play they're playing at.
Damon Amendola, check him out on CBS Sports Radio. He is 8 to 11 Central Time. You get him on the app and 9 to noon Eastern Time. And then, of course, the Nomad series on YouTube. Go check those out. They are fantastic as well. D.A., appreciate you, man. Get your snowshoes on. Well, yeah, go shovel. Hey, do me a favor. Go shovel Yankee Stadium. I want to watch baseball more.
I live in New York City now, Big Dog. I don't own a shovel anymore.
No. Oh, there you go. All right, man. Appreciate you.
That's what the city is for. That's what all my taxes go to. All right.
Yeah, well, send them over there and clean out my stadium, will you?
All right.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks. Let's get a break. All right, speaking of baseball, a Philadelphia guy who's probably got an eye on Nova as well, Kevin McGalpin, who does a tremendous job for 680 The Fan, embedded with the Braves. Braves are 2-1 after their first series. We'll see if that can keep rolling. Get his thoughts next right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP. It's time for a T-Mac Minute.
We all know this tournament has been phenomenal, but the edge as best Final Four easily goes to the women. I'm not trying to say that you're wrong for not watching it, and I get why it doesn't appeal to most people. Certain circumstances led me to watching it, and I saw three great games. Both Final Four games went to overtime, and the championship ended on a buzzer beater. Notre Dame even had to overcome a 15-point deficit, which tied it up against Mississippi State going into the fourth quarter. Then, they won it at the buzzer when Ogunbowale hit a ridiculous running three, which, by the way, that is a cold-blooded, bad woman. You can say what you want about the fact that I even watched this Final Four and championship, but I'm glad I did. One criticism, they put 0.1 seconds back on the clock, which was meaningless, that totally stole the moment away from Notre Dame. But as a whole, I was absolutely entertained.
Catch Tony Mack on the Tom Abraham Show, weekdays 2 to 6.
Hit the road this spring in comfort and style with the RV you've always wanted from Halls RV in Albertville. Winners of Retailer of the Year from the Alabama Retail Association. Halls RV has just what you're looking for. The best deals on quality-built travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes of all sizes. Making every destination feel like home. 256-894-6235. Or stop by Halls RV today. Highway 431 in Albertville. And online at HallsRVSales.com. Halls RV. We sell fun.
Man. Are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper for its calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Tuesday morning on Three Man Front, Dane Bradshaw of the SEC Network reviews the national championship game. Lars Anderson in studio at 11 a.m. And former Auburn quarterback Ben Leard is with us at 1:30 right here on Sports Radio 730, The Ump.
The Ump, where champions are crowned.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone,
touchdown!
Touchdown! Alabama, Devontae Smith! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain. Their fifth national championship in 9 years. Their 17th overall. Alabama is back as the champion of college football. How about that?
If your skin could talk, would you listen?
As your skin, I forgive you. I forgive you for poking and popping me when I broke out at 14. I forgive you for that awful belly ring hole you left in me when you were 15. I forgive you for damaging me before prom, on spring break, and at tanning salons when you were 16, 17, 18. But I'm your skin, and if you continue to tan, I hope you can forgive me. Forgive me when wrinkles begin to show and I start developing age spots. Forgive me if I develop melanoma when you're only 22. So please, I'm asking you to stop. Stop tanning now. Our future depends on it.
Protect your skin from melanoma, the second most common cancer in young women 15 to 29 years old. And protect your future. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Weather sponsored by Kubota. Ever wonder what's behind those orange tractors? Kubota offers efficient engineering from ag to construction, from zero-turn mowers to RTVs. Find a dealer at gokubota.com.
The sky mostly cloudy tonight, the low at 60. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, mild and breezy, the chance of a shower during the day. Rain and strong storms arrive late tomorrow night, the high 76. Then for Wednesday, becoming mostly sunny, breezy and much cooler, the high at 58. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Tom Abraham Show is back. Listen at your own risk.
Last thing I need, T-Mac, to get into a video game. Be the end of everything. Between the three radio shows I do and the fishing that I want to do and being on the water and then the work around the crib and the house and the yard and everything else, if I were to get interested in video games and I wanted to do that thing, the show, which my son has for the PlayStation, I'm done. I'm done. I might as well not even be married or have a family or anything else. There's no time for that. I can't believe how the graphics looked on that. I mean, it's like, wow, it's ridiculous. All right, joining us now, Kevin McGulpin. He's a Philadelphia boy. I got to get his thoughts on this Nova thing. He's a Philadelphia boy. He's covering the Braves, though, doing a great job. Braves took 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia in the first weekend series, and now they've got the Nats coming in tonight. And Kevin joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Kevin, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you.
Do you play those video games? Do you like play video game baseball or anything like that? Because I don't have any time left. I got a wife and everything that I want to be with. You know, I'll be divorced if I were to take up video games.
Yeah, if I did that on nights when I'm home during the season, I would also be having to find a good attorney. So no, I cut those out. Those pretty much went out the window when my kid came around about 3 years ago.
That's a good job by you. I can't believe my son. I saw the commercial for RBI 18 on MLB. .TV, and I'm like, wow, that's really good graphics. And my son said, yeah, take a look at this. And he showed me the show and their graphics for PlayStation, and I almost couldn't tell. I mean, I couldn't believe how perfect the graphics were, how much it looked like a baseball game.
Man, give me major, what was it, the Bases Loaded 2, and give me RBI Baseball. I'm just as happy with those.
Yeah. I'm happy with 15-2. That's fun. And it's nice to see Brian Snicker get thrown out again. He must have heard us talking about that last week. I mean, the dude got thrown. You can't get thrown out of a game anymore with all the replay and everything. Dude got thrown out of 2 out of 3 games. I mean, you know what? It must have been cold or something. He wanted to get in the clubhouse, I guess.
Yeah, he's on pace for about 80 ejections this year. But no, I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, you don't see a whole lot of that anymore. But look, I think Snit was completely justified in his argument the other night. Look,
yeah.
I don't care if it's a rookie manager or a guy who's been around 20 years. You can't help cover for a guy who didn't, you know, goes to make a pitching change when he didn't have a pitcher warming up. I mean, I can never remember seeing anything like that. Jerry Lane talking about it after the game, the crew chief basically saying, look, I didn't want to get this guy hurt, but I certainly understand Snit's argument. Look, the rules are there for a reason. Pace of play is such a big thing. And, you know, if you're not going to enforce it, why even have those kinds of rules?
Yeah, well, you know, remember during the spring training, a similar thing, happened to Aaron Boone. You know, where you know, here he is, a first time manager, and he went out to pull the pitcher, and he had nobody warming up in the bullpen. You gotta put somebody in. You know what I mean? It's just this rule. You got to have 9 guys. You got to put somebody in if you take somebody out. Kapler said he takes full responsibility, but I do kind of understand, you know, what Jerry Lane said in terms of, you know, I don't want to blow a kid's arm out over a kind of a technicality, but, you know, I understand that.
Yeah, I get both sides of it. But, again, I understand if you're Brian Snicker, I mean, you've got to be, you know, ticked off. I mean, look, again, you can make the argument, well, he's a rookie manager. It's the first time doing it. Well, this is also the big league. I mean, this is not, you know, minor league ball where those kind of things can just be brushed away. And so, you know, I don't know if it's miscommunication between Kapler and the pitching coach and the bench coach, all three of the above. But, you know, you go out there and make a change and you don't have a guy warming up. I mean, that's just, you're asking for a, you know, a complete disaster for this kid who's pitching for the third game in a row. You don't want to get this guy hurt. So, It was really a strange situation, and certainly Kapler taking a lot of heat in Philly because of that after this debacle this weekend.
Well, and the thing is that when they're warming up, can you see them? I mean, what was the bottom line here? Did he ask for them to warm up, and then all of a sudden, you know, the signals got crossed going down to the bullpen, or what's the deal? Can you see? Is there TVs? You know, like in some of the dugouts where they got a TV that shows what's going on in the bullpen. How does this happen in a Major League Baseball? It doesn't happen in a Little League game.
No, it doesn't. There's only monitors right there next to them in the dugout. So you would take one look down there if you're going to go make the change just to make sure your guy's ready. And typically there's a phone call as well. Hey, do we have him up? Is he ready to go? Do we need to stall? Things like that. But, yeah, there are monitors from the bullpen in both dugouts. I believe there's a monitor where you can see both bullpens as well. So he could see if there's activity in the Braves pen. But neither, you know, regardless of what's going on in the Braves pen, you've got to at least take a peek. Or, you know, hey, did we get somebody up? It's just, it is, you're right. It's very bizarre. You don't see it often. And again, he's going to have to answer about that one for a while. And the funny thing, Tom, is after the game, he comes right back and says, makes some kind of a comment alluding to the fact that the Phillies are going to be a playoff team this year. I probably would have picked my spot a little bit better if I was him after a situation like that.
Yeah, right. And the funny thing, too, was that when Snit was arguing, the kid was warming up. You know what I mean? It was him being out there arguing. And what I don't understand is why he actually got tossed. Because, you know, the crew chief, Lane, said that he said, look, Brian got animated, and there's no better guy to get along with than him. He started doing, you know, I don't know what you know is. He said, I threw him out of the game. It was cut and dry. He never cussed at me. He was just so displeased with what happened. Well, why'd he throw him out then? Why couldn't he just say, look, I'm going to do this. You're right, but I'm going to do this. You want to argue with me? The kid's warming up. Argue with me. But you don't have to toss him.
Probably just more of a technicality than anything. He probably just wanted to get him off the field and get the game going back again. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, like you said, Lane said it after the game that he didn't curse at him. He just was out there, and I was giving him my side of things. He was explaining his, and it was clear that they were not going to come to a conclusion that either of them liked. So that's pretty much why he ran him out of the ballgame like that.
No, it's a 5-2 game, I think, at the time, right? It's like the third inning or something like that. So, I think, you know, the game was 15-2. So this isn't something that happens – you know, with the Braves up by 10 runs and the guys making a scene over something and they're up by 10 runs. This was the game was in play at this particular point in time, right?
It sure was. Yeah. It was still early enough that, you know, anything could have happened. And so, yeah, it wasn't like it was in the eighth inning of a sideways game, but it was nice to see the way the Braves, you know, look, and that's something we talked about last week is the guys in that clubhouse. They appreciate, you know, knowing that Snit has their back and he'll go out there and he'll defend them, whatever it means for him, if he gets tossed out of a ball game or gets a fine or whatever, those guys know that he's always on their side. They do appreciate that comfort and feeling, knowing that Snit's not afraid to go and get after an umpire or an opposing player or coach or manager or anything like that to have their back.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin McAlpin with us talking some Braves here. So you know, we talked about the stirring victory in Game One. You know, you come back, you win a game like that. It was just such a wonderful thing to get that done. And then, you know, they turn around and then they have that big win, the, you know, on Sunday. And, you know, it's not like they weren't competitive all throughout. I mean, this is a really good start for them. I would think this is a pretty good vibe. You know, people say, well, it's just two games or three games and so on, but they all count at the end of the year. They add them all up. So, you know, I think it's got to be pretty encouraging.
It is, you know, there's a good feel in that clubhouse. And, you know, let's not forget, they're doing it without, you know, Tyler Flowers and now Kurt Suzuki, who got hurt in the first and second games of the year. Right. So, unfortunately, Flowers is going to be out for a while. Suzuki hopes to get back in there in the next couple of days. But, you know, they carried three catchers when they broke camp last week, and they're already on catcher number three. They had to go out and get another one just to have a little bit of insurance there. But, you know, the bottom of the order has done a really nice job. You've seen some guys like Flaherty contribute, Preston Tucker a couple of times with game-tying RBIs in the eighth inning. You know, these guys top to bottom have gotten the job done. So there is a good feel in that clubhouse, and I think this will be a really good test, a kind of a good early season watermark to see where they match up against arguably one of the best teams in the National League here in the Nationals.
So who did they bring in? They brought in Carlos Perez, right, the catcher, and the righty Anibal Sanchez as well going into tonight's game. Is that right?
That's correct. A couple of roster moves today, and Sanchez will be available out of the bullpen. They'll probably try to get him an inning or two at some point, you know, treat it sort of like a side day. But I do still think we'll see him when they need that fifth starter, and that'll be on the 10th of April. They'll need that fifth spot in the rotation. So, you know, we'll see Sanchez in the bullpen here for a brief bit, and then likely still join the rotation. And then, until Luis Gohara is ready. Good news on him, he actually threw today, threw a couple of innings in a sim game, and the Braves are still thinking probably late April, early May for when he'll come back. Got through PFP drills okay. You'll recall he had the groin issue and then the ankle, the sprained ankle. So he's about a month and a half behind everybody else, kind of beginning that spring training progression now. So he'll join the rotation when that comes around, and that'll probably still be 3 or 4 weeks when he's up back to 100% healthy and ready to go.
Who's going to be on the bubble when they call up Acuna in a couple of weeks and when Camargo's ready to come back? Who are the guys that right now are hanging on to the end of that dugout?
Yeah, probably Lane Adams would be one of the guys that could be the odd man out when Acuna comes up. We'll see. I mean, he's also out of options, so you risk losing him as well. And he was such a valuable guy off the bench a year ago. 12 pinch hit RBI. That was he came up with some really clutch base hits for this ball club a year ago. So certainly with his speed and his power potential off the bench, you wouldn't want to lose a guy like that. So we'll see what ends up happening. But there's a couple of different directions things could go as far as Camargo is concerned. Again, we'll see what they decide to do with that. But, there won't be any surprises, I don't think, when those two guys come up. Good thing with Camargo, we could see him probably later on this week or this weekend. He has really improved quite a bit since the team left Orlando a week ago.
So taking two out of three from the Phils is one thing. Now the Nats come in. They just swept Cincinnati on the road. And it's good early litmus test, I would think, going up against a Nats team that I think is the favorite in the National League, regardless of what the Dodgers do. I really like the Nats in their lineup.
Well, you got to like their lineup. You got to like their pitching staff. I mean, the Braves are going to see Tanner Roark tonight. And, for the accolades that guys like Scherzer and Strasburg get, Roark has had really, really good lifetime numbers against the Braves. He's been a tough customer for them to figure out, whether it's in the starting rotation or whether it's out of the bullpen. He has been really good the last couple of years against Atlanta. So hopefully they can crack him tonight. And look, the Braves pitchers are going to have their work cut out for them. The Nationals really swinging the bat well here in the first week. Bryce Harper off to a good start. They got Adam Eaton back. That's a huge boost for them after he missed all of last season. So this is going to be a really good ball club this year.
Kevin McGalpin, Braves Radio Network. All right, before I let you go, we established last week that, you're originally a Philly guy. So I would think that there's some interest, right? I mean, with Nova going tonight, you got a little bit of interest in keeping an eye on that? Or are you, people in Philly, they either love Nova or they hate Nova, if they're either Temple or, somebody else is their team. But what's your take on Nova tonight and going scorched earth the way they've been going through this tournament?
I went to Temple, so we hate everybody.
You hate everybody.
Hate everybody. And Villanova, as far as, the teams that we hate the most, are probably third or fourth. We really don't like Penn State. We can't stand St. Joe's. And Villanova, I'm not a big Villanova guy. So, look, it wouldn't make me sad at all if Michigan came out victorious. But you know what? It's good for the city. Look, the city of Philadelphia, since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Sixers have taken off. They're all of a sudden, I think, the four seed in the East. So they've been playing well. The Flyers have kind of been up and down. But it'd be fun to see, and then you get those people that are from Philly that say, well, Villanova is not a quote-unquote Philly school because they're not in the city of Philly. But I grew up about 5 miles away from Villanova, so I wouldn't shed a tear if they lost tonight. But it would be good for the city and for the metro area as a whole. But I guess I'll be cheering for Big Blue tonight.
Now, do you guys still hate UMass, or was that just a Calipari thing?
No, we got over that a long time ago. The funny thing is Coach Chaney and Calipari have actually become very good friends since that dust up. What was that, back in the early 90s, I believe?
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic, though. That was great, man. That was good stuff. All right, man, appreciate you. And how's the weather over there? Everything good for tonight or what?
Oh, everything's perfect. I mean, this is 75 beautiful degrees. The sun is out. This is the perfect baseball weather. Should be a beautiful couple of nights here. And then, knock on wood, the Braves go to Denver this weekend to start up their first road trip, and they're calling for 60s and 70s in the mountains. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that holds true.
Yeah, I was all stoked to watch a Yankees home opener today, and then I opened up my phone and saw that they had 2 feet of snow in the stadium. I'm like, that's great. And I don't know when they're they might not open until June. I guess it's gonna be raining and snowing there tomorrow, and you know who knows what it's gonna be like. So, all right, man. Yeah. Appreciate you as always. Good stuff. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Kevin McGalpin. Let's go work right there. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back, get the phone lines open maybe. 7:30, got top of the hour texts and tweets. If you want to hit me up with one, don't forget you can text your pick for tonight. Give me the score of tonight's game. Whoever comes closest to the score gets entered into drawing for the Talladega weekend worth of tickets. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 7:30, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio 7:30 and 103.9 The UMP, WUMP. Now, it's time for your Atlanta Braves update.
Following a rare Sunday off, the Braves now welcome the Nationals to town. I'm Kevin McAlpin, and your Braves update's coming up next.
Become a Braves A-list member for the 2018 season and enjoy the best of what SunTrust Park has to offer. Visit Braves.com/A-list.
Fresh off a series win against the Phillies on Saturday night, the Braves had their first scheduled Sunday off since 1933 yesterday and will now welcome the Washington Nationals to town. Saturday, the Braves offense scored early and often en route to a 15-2 win, taking the rubber match from Philadelphia. Atlanta got a run in the first, two more in the second, and four in the third on RBI singles from Ender Inciarte and Nick Markakis. The Braves would go on to break things wide open in the bottom of the sixth, sending 10 men to the plate, scoring on a wild pitch, RBI singles from Ozzie Albies and Dansby Swanson, and an RBI double from Freddie Freeman. Ryan Flaherty had a big night with four base hits, becoming the third baseman in Atlanta history with four hits and four runs scored in a game, joining Chipper Jones and Terry Pendleton. Meanwhile, it'll be the Braves and the Nationals in the first of a three-game series coming up tonight. Sean Newcomb getting the ball for the Braves against 31-year-old right-hander Tanner Roark. Hear the call live from SunTrust Park right here on the Braves Radio Network. First pitch tonight is set for 7:35 p.m. Eastern. With the Braves, I'm Kevin McAlpin for the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Your washing machine died. A puddle forms on the floor, sending you running to the home improvement store, where you see the stainless steel machine of your dreams. For a minute, you're glad your old washer died, until you see the price of the new one. And now you die a little. Don't let those big box retailers leak on your dreams. Swing by Rent-A-Center or go to rentacenter.com and get the big brands you want for small payments you can afford, all without credit. Rent-A-Center. Big brands. Small payments. Rental purchase transactions. See store for details.
Hey, Rocket City. Ryan Brown here for the Jocks Roundtable. Back live with you 6 until 10 Tuesday morning. Avery Johnson recaps the national championship game with us at 7:30. Cole Kublik, a three-man front, the SEC Network and ESPN on football at 8. And Clay Travis from Fox Sports at 9:30 on the next Jocks Roundtable.
An important message from Medicare. Between your doctor visits, taking the right medications at the right times, and following advice from different doctors, managing two or more chronic conditions, like high blood pressure, arthritis, or diabetes, can be overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. Chronic Care Management Services can help you get the connected care you need by connecting the dots between your medical appointments, pharmacy, and hospital visits. Your doctor will work with you to create a care plan and check in with you between visits, keeping you on track and helping you with your health goals so you can spend more time doing what you love. If you have Medicare, ask your doctor about Chronic Care Management Services and get the connected care you need. For more information, Visit Medicare.gov and search for Chronic Care Management. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Sherman Gillums Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 70 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has helped hundreds of thousands of veterans get all the benefits they have earned.
Al Kovac Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
We provide one-on-one support tailored to your individual needs, including healthcare advocacy, benefits support, and career assistance.
For more information, call 1-800-424-8200 or visit pva.org. A public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
The sky mostly cloudy tonight, the low at 60. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, mild and breezy, the chance of a shower during the day. Rain and strong storms arrive late tomorrow night, the high 76. Then for Wednesday, becoming mostly sunny, breezy and much cooler, the high at 58. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
All right.
Yeah. So LeBron James has a beef with Alabama. Do you see this?
Well.
Apparently LeBron is taking issue with the web series that Alabama is running called Shop Talk. I mean, it's filmed at the Alabama, or it's called Bama Cuts Barbershop, which is in the football complex. And features players and ex-players, like this last episode had Julio Jones, and Nick Saban was in there, and the guys just talk candidly while players are getting trimmed in the barbershop, which is in the football facility. Well, LeBron, he does the same thing on his uninterrupted site, and they call it The Shop. So now attorneys for LeBron's deal, they sent the following notice, quote, "Your continued exploitation of Shop Talk infringes Uninterrupted's copyright, trademark rights, and other valuable intellectual property rights in The Shop and significantly damages Uninterrupted's commercial prospects for The Shop." Then the letter goes on to invite a conversation with Alabama before, quote, "rushing into legal proceedings," end quote. So I'm guessing that pretty soon we're going to hear from the producers of Barbershop and Barbershop 2. Was there a Barbershop 3? I mean, Ice Cube and Cedric the Entertainer, are they going to get into this too? It is stupid. Like LeBron invented guys BSing in a barbershop. T-Mac, have you seen this deal?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's something.
I mean, really? This is what LeBron is dealing with now?
It's very LeBron, you know? So he's being consistent with who he is, even though who he is, you know, a self-absorbed jerk.
So nobody else can do a YouTube video or any kind of video that involves, you know, guys hanging around a barbershop talking.
What I think it is, I think because Nick Saban is who Nick Saban is, and the Alabama program gets a lot of hype because it's the Alabama program, what they've been able to do, it actually poses a threat viewership.
Really?
Viewership.
They're not trying to – viewership, yeah, but I mean they're not trying to sell. No. Just because one guy's doing it, if it's a good idea, another guy does it, then maybe it drives, you know, rising water lifts all boats. You know what I mean? It's like you have a sitcom, you can't have another sitcom. I mean, come on.
I get that, but I think because the Alabama program is what it is, people aren't looking at it as a mirror of what LeBron put out there for basketball. Right. They're looking at it as a competing deal. You know what I mean? So,
and they're not. I don't think they're selling airtime or anything on it with the Alabama thing. It's just a thing, man. Guys hanging around at barbershop, just talking candidly. I mean, just stop it.
Also, you know what was pretty awesome? I hope you saw it. Did you see the heckler heckling Bryce Harper?
Oh, right before he raked for the second home run?
Yes.
You suck, quack!
He called him
overrated, yep. Quack!
It was fantastic. Oh, he's going to murder the Braves tonight.
All right, two segments coming up in the next half hour. So get loose. Get on the lines. 866-485-9867. We may be closer to a super fight in the heavyweight division than we've been in a while, involving one of our own, meaning an American. Did anybody watch the Anthony Joshua, Joe Parker fight? I did, because I want to know who Deontay Wilder is going to be fighting. Talk about that next if you want to get in on that, right here at 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Being a pit crew member is dangerous. Case in point, Chris Buescher's Jack Mann on the 37 car. He received torn muscles in his leg. Ouch. After being hit on pit road during an early stop at Martinsville, Zach Young was transported to a local hospital during a caution by ambulance because they don't have a tunnel at Martinsville, so they had to wait for the racing action to stop before they could evacuate him. I'm sure you were asking yourself the question, when was the last time a Cup Series race was postponed due to snow, like this past weekend at Martinsville? Well, to answer your question, in case you're discussing it at the water cooler today, is Atlanta 1993. William Byron is on, talking about Phoenix getting their start-finish line moved to turns 1 and 2, among other things.
I don't really think it'll change the way the race is that much, other than the restarts. I don't know how the restarts are going to go just because of the dog leg, but I think that it's going to be a new kind of fork in the road, and we'll see how that plays out once you get to turn 1, I guess turn 3 right now, but it's definitely going to change the way you talk about the track. I'm sure the first time we come back, I'm going to say turn 3, and it's going to be turn 1, and we're going to be all confused. So
right.
I'm sure that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be chaos with that start-finish line right there between turns 1 and 2.
The Final Lap.
If you're a pro, you don't buy a little of this or that. You buy a lot of this or that. And at the Home Depot, you save even more. Save up to 15% in bulk discounts on select pro-grade products from top brands like 3M, Loctite, and Liquid Nails. As a pro, you work hard for your money. You shouldn't have to work hard to save it. Up to 15% in bulk discounts on select pro-grade products. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details.
How do you Friday? Whether you're trying to firm up, slim down, feel better, or simply take a break, Smoothie King has the smoothie for you. And with our $5 Fridays, you can Friday with a purpose. 32-ounce smoothies are just $5, and 32-ounce meal replacements are just $6. All blends, all flavors, all Friday. So how do you Friday? Friday like a king. Only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Participating locations, some restrictions may apply.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudette from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
running low on the stuff you need, time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too. Like going on a cleaning spree. Buy three, get a free $10 gift card on items like Swiffer and Bounty. Or letting your hair down because it looks that good. With Pantene shampoo and conditioner, $4.99 each. Get low prices on thousands of items and free two-day shipping today and every day. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply. Free two-day shipping when you spend $35 or use your red card on eligible items.
The Braves are back and ready to make 2018 the year they got back into the race for the National League East.
High fly, deep to left field, back toward the wall. That ball is gone for Freeman.
Tonight, opening week continues. WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Arm.